Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance whenever we're able. We'll do routines to call the scenes to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-table. So many times we give them rhymes that are quite unsingable. We're off the mad in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram along.
No, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you ma'am.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how do you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds, distributing swords, is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh. Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about! Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
He, King Shazir the Terrible! All rise for King Shazir the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table!
If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. and the old I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies, and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves, until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.
Paul Harvey.
Thank you. down here, freaky people need not apply. So I tucked my hair up under my hat, and I went in to ask him why. He said, you look like a fine, upstanding young man, I think you do. So I took off my hat, said, imagine that, huh, me working for you. Sign, sign, everywhere I sign, walking at the scenery, breaking my mind. Said anybody caught trespassing would be shot on sight. So I jumped up the fence and I yelled at the house, hey, what gives you the right to put up a fence to keep me out, but to keep Mother Nature in? Ha! If God was here, he'd tell you to your face, man, you're some kind of sinner. Sign said, everybody welcome, come and kneel down and pray. But when they passed down the plate at the end of it all, I didn't have a penny to pay. So I got me a pen and a paper, and I made up my own little sign. I said, thank you, dear Lord, for thinking about me, I'm alive, oh, I'm doing fine. Sign, sign, everywhere I sign, scenery breaking my mind. Do this, don't do that. Can't you read the sign? Sign, sign, everywhere I sign. Sign, sign, everywhere I sign. Sign, sign, everywhere I sign. Rocking at the scenery breaking my mind. Do this, don't do that. Can't you read the sign?
Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. Not just any Knights of the Round Table. You're listening to our 200th Knights of the Round Table. It's been a long journey to get where we're at today, and we've traveled a lot of roads and met a lot of wonderful nights throughout the time that we've been doing all this. The list over there in the Knights of the Round Table Skype chat used to be so much bigger. There were some nights that went way, way back from whenever I very first started doing internet radio. Started off, met a man named Ben out there on TNS Radio. He liked a video that I did where I was talking about life in general, and things were rough back then, and they seem to be getting worse as time progresses. But the initial deal that I started off doing was the Mad Science Show. So there's quite a few more Mad Science shows in the Knights of the Round Table. Knights of the Round Table didn't come around till a little bit after that. But as I was listening to all the different things that were going on out there in YouTube, political and worldwide, and doomsday prophecies and so on and so forth, it just felt like it was the time that somebody get out there and start saying something with some common sense and a bit of hope. Some of the folks that's 600 hours of podcast, no small achievement, quite a legacy. I shared the links on Facebook. I hope someone takes the time to join us. Thanks a lot, Stephen. when I think back about how it all started, and there was a sense of urgency back in the day. TNS was, their slogan was, seeking solutions to all the world's problems. And I agreed with that slogan. I still agree with that slogan. I still agree with the reason why I started off this journey to begin with. When I was younger, I was able to do it. I was out there and I was actually trying to make a difference in the world. I was in the military and I was a police officer at one point in time. I think, matter of fact, the video I was talking about had something to do with that. But the world seemed pretty rough at that time. You know, when you look out there into the internet, when you go down that road, that matrix, that's the internet could be pretty twisted. It's a lot of winds and turns and twists and dark alleys and craziness goes on out there in this cyberspace that we call internet. There was always a doomsday, and there was always something exciting going on, and there was always things going on in real life, you know, wars or rumors of wars and so on and so forth. And government corruption, just hand over fist. You know, there were trolls out there attacking all the radio hosts and the YouTube people that was trying to get information out, you know, Alex Jones and his crew, the information war and all that. There was so much going on. It was definitely a war for your mind. But I don't regret looking back at taking this journey. 600 hours of podcast. I never even thought of it like that. Thanks again, Stephen. But 600 hours I sat in front of a computer talking to the world, telling everybody, you know, my point of view and peace, hope, and love, and trying to share things that I've learned and so on. And I didn't take that journey alone. There were a lot of Knights of the Round Table in the past, some of which may be listening in now. And if you are listening in, any of the old knights from way back, be more than honored if you called in again. But they were some wonderful people. They all had the same vision, trying to make the world a better place, even if it was just so much as a positive word put out there, you know, pointing out something that needed to be addressed or whatever. The whole idea was to try to bring everybody to the table, you know. It's no sense in just getting on there complaining and arguing and fighting and fussing about things that are going on in the world. You know, it's like the political scene out there. This year's election cycle over here in the U.S. is a nightmare. You know, we're sitting here watching some pretty shocking things unfold that we would have never thought we'd have saw many, many years back. You know, there's candidates that probably shouldn't be up for election, and there's candidates that probably should be in jail. There's government officials, cover-ups, and, you know, you get it all, man. You couldn't make this stuff up. You couldn't write a better movie. So where do we go to from here, man? 200th show. I was actually contemplating on actually playing a little bit of the very first night of the round table. And for some reason I just said, no, I think we're just going to wing this one, and we're going to let this play out just to see where it goes. I posted information on Facebook and telling people about, you know, the Knights of the Round Table and the Mad Science Show, and hoping that people would come in and join us in the chat and all that kind of stuff. People got busy lives, and, you know, there's so much going on out there in the world. It's just so incredible when you actually think about right now, as we sit here and drink our coffee and talk about things, somewhere in this world there's something serious going on. Somewhere in his world, something not so serious going on. Some folks are getting their priorities straight and some folks aren't. Some folks are probably waking up right about now and beginning their daily dose of getting liquored up or stoned or whatever. Whatever it takes to get by through the day. I've seen a whole lot of things in my life that some of which I wished I had never saw. And so, for me, it's not just sitting in front of a microphone talking to the world and trying to bring about some common sense or open a dialogue for anything positive, peaceful, or whatever. Throughout this entire journey, I've been through multiple doomsday scenarios, and of course doomsday date keeps getting moved up and then moved up, and those who didn't like my faith would give me a rash, and it's kind of ironic that those folks that believe in aliens will jump right on you and discount God, and those folks that believe in Bigfoot or whatever will do pretty much the same. But pretty much not one single soul on this planet knows everything there is to know. There ain't no evidence for a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff is just that. It's theory. It's theoretical or whatever. I don't know what the words. Sometimes I have trouble with words because I got so much running through my brain at one time that I'm just trying to get the right words out. And I've done that for 200 shows now. You know, I'm not the guy that has every single answer there is to have. I'm just the guy that recognizes that if we could get the brilliant minds from around the world to the table, get them start working on things together. And to some extent, we've succeeded pretty good. We've got a lot of different people out there that are working together. There's a lot of networks that branched off from the original TNS and went about their own business. You know, some of them didn't agree, and they agreed to disagree and went their separate ways or whatever, you know. I saw a lot of network come and go. And I swore that this network right here was going to be in it for the long haul. The last one standing in the apocalypse. So if all hell breaks loose and we're like, you know, doomsday is right there, and I'll fire up the SAM and start talking to everybody out there and wishing them the best of luck and share my love with them and do it like that. That's about the best we got, folks. You know, we can do what we can do physically, but there is something to be said about the power of the spoken word, getting out there using your voice, raising your voice up to at least people get people's mind to thinking about, you know, possibilities or whatever. We've got a political system over here in the United States that is just run amok. It's a mess. And you sit here and you listen to things that average Joe would be going to jail for. And you listen to mainstream media propagandize and lie to people. Then you get on the internet and you listen to the alternative media fear mongering and trying to scare people into things and trying to get people over to their side. If you take the time and you look, there's an actual war going on between the atheists and the Christians on YouTube. You know, it's one thing not to believe in something, but it's another to want so bad for everyone to agree with you that you're willing to go out and trample somebody else's beliefs just so that you can, you know, prove them wrong or make them look stupid. What's it to anybody if I believe in Santa Claus or the Tooth Fairy or Bigfoot? You know, I can't prove it. Unless I get a hold of Santa Claus and I can, you know, get some selfies with Santa Claus or the Tooth Fairy. You know, but even in this day and age, you could have a photo of something and nobody would believe it because of the digital age, you know, Photoshop. Oh, we got our work cut out for us, folks. We don't even know if space is real. According to the alternative media, the moon is a hollow. It's a spaceship. It's man-made or whatever, you know. Moon ain't real. The sun ain't real. The moon is only 3,000 miles away. The sun's only 3,000 miles away. The sun's a million miles away. We have been to space. We haven't been to space. We've been to Mars. We haven't been to Mars. If you want entertainment, go out there and look into all the conspiracies of the world. I've looked at them all, man. I've looked at them all, and I've talked about a lot of them on the Knights of the Round Table, and even some of them on the Mad Science Show. I talked about them. But I'm more along the lines of sitting there telling folks, look, people are saying this stuff. Maybe we ought to just, like, keep an eye out just in case something's going down, but then at the same, you know, the same breath, let's not get all up in an uproar and start bunkering down just yet. It's always good to be prepared for things that's coming to you in life, but it's not good to be paranoid as you're trying to make your way through life. I mean, after all, the average lifespan these days is, what, anywhere from 60 to maybe 100 or more if you're lucky. Really lucky you went past 100. 60, 70, 80 years on this planet or flat plane or wherever we're at. I personally don't care what shape the planet is, with the exception of what shape it's in. And it's, according to what I've been told, not just by the alternative media, but by the mainstream media, we're pretty much screwed. I don't know about you, but I kind of like to live in a world where I didn't feel like that. Kind of like to live in a world where I didn't have to worry about things. So, on one hand, there's people out there that'll tell you that you shouldn't believe in a divine creator because you're stupid. Science says this and science says that. And the world is screwed, and we're all going to go die in World War III, or Doomsday, or the aliens, the lizard people is coming down to eat us and stuff. I would think under those circumstances, you'd let me hold on to whatever it is that I could hold on to. If I wanted to believe in the big man in the sky, and it made me feel comfortable in a mess that you just told me that the world is all screwed up, then you'd just let me be. But people choose to fight over some of the craziest stuff. Who's right and who's wrong on the Republican and Democrat side? Two sides of the same coin, or, you know, the secret societies, Illuminatis, the Freemasons, and the Queen being a lizard and so on. Heck, what do I know? Maybe the queen is a lizard. Maybe she's going to run and snatch your child whenever you ain't looking the other direction and run off or something and make a sandwich or something. I don't know. All I know is what I hear. And if everybody else out there's mind is as jumbled up and confused as mine is right about now, I saw a picture a long time ago. It was a real cute little monkey. This monkey had a look on his face like, And I put a phrase up there. Well, hello there, Thomas.
Hey.
Anyway, I saw this picture of this monkey, and I put a picture up under there, and it basically said, can't we all just get along? And,
No.
Yeah.
No, we can't.
That's the...
Isn't that obvious?
That's the general consensus. So, you know, I'm sitting back here, I'm looking at the world, I'm watching the world go crazy, I'm watching it deteriorate, and I said to myself, you know, hey, let's put the Knights of the Round Table together. Let's get all these people who think all this world is going to heck in a handbasket. Let's set them down at the table and let's negotiate and talk about problems and work together to try to figure out ways to resolve problems. A lot of folks out there feel hopeless. And sometimes it's just a voice out in the middle of the, you know, airways or the cyberspace. Sometimes it's just a friendly voice that says, hey, you know, you're not alone, brother, sister. You got other mice in the maze that feel the same way you do. You know, this internet that, you know, if you ever watch the movie The Matrix and everybody's being used as a battery in that movie, it's kind of disturbing. But then again, it kind of, life imitates art whenever you look at what's going on out there. Everybody's got a device in their hand. Everybody's, it's crazy. When people are sitting in the same room on separate couches or chairs, and instead of opening their mouth and talking, they send a text.
Let your fingers do the walking.
Am I the only one who finds that a bit odd? What happened to being social? So, 200 shows ago was the very first Knights of the Round Table.
And you chose the 200th one to go ahead and do it an hour early.
Well, yeah. Ironically enough, my wife picked out an event that she's just got to go to. But this is the Knights of the Round Table, and it is the Renaissance festival she wants to go to. So I suppose that's kind of a decent trade-off. Get to see the kings and queens and stuff. The jousting and... Now go down there and show them how old King Shaziz the Terrible jousts. What do you think?
Just don't get arrested, man.
No, I'll probably get knocked off the horse. That's probably what I'd do. Anyway, it's been a journey to get all the way here. And it's heads ups and downs, and yeah, as far as I'm concerned, it's been a worthy journey. There's a lot of the knights from the past that were frequent on the Knights of the Round Table. I miss a lot of them because some of them, you know, some of them lived in Ireland, some of them lived in Scotland, some of them lived in you know, just different places all over the planet, and they were brilliant individuals that you know, at some point in the journey, they're like, you know, well, we just don't feel like we're doing any good. And I can't agree with that because I feel like if ain't nobody shouting it out, then nothing's got going on. You know, it's Paul Revere. What if he never took the ride? You know?
Well, you know, I was going to say that. That's not exactly what everybody thinks it is, but even as it were, if you took a ride and everybody stayed in bed after you took a ride and shouted it out that they were coming, still would be, you know, worshiping the crown right now, kissing the ring of the king. So even though they played the rider played a part, it wasn't the most crucial and important part. Because, you know, every part was, you know, was basically necessary for us to be where we are now.
Yeah, I agree, you know.
If you don't get up and do something about what's being shouted out, then, you know, what's the point? And I'm sure after the ride was over, they didn't end their run with that. They went ahead and did something else, too. I'm sure they picked the rifle up and started, you know, poking redcoats and told them to get out, too, you know?
Yeah. But see, I'm like this, man. I can't just walk away knowing that the world is in the state that it is. You know, I know that the world isn't all my burden to bear. But at the same sense, you know, I don't believe in the out of sight, out of mind concept that a lot of folks do and living in their own bubble. You know, I understand people just want to enjoy life. They don't want no kind of, negativity. Some people just don't want to know that things are, you know, going on. Which is understandable, because if you ever watch The Matrix and you see the one guy, he said, "Oh, well, I want you to put me back in and I'll never have any memory of this or any of this. I just go back to life and never knew anything."
Then he proceeded to describe himself in the real world, what he wanted to be, which is basically who he is in the real world.
Yep. But there are times that you wish you never even heard anything about conspiracies or government or anything like that, because you could have probably lived at least all these years, you know, in peace without having to stress over, you know, who's taking over what and what's getting messed up. You know, I live out in the country and it's peaceful out here and I don't have bombs blowing off every time I turn around, and so I feel fortunate that at least in my little portion of the world everything is cool. And sometimes I question whether or not anything is going on in the world. Sometimes I question whether or not a lot of what's being said is just to try to get us to live in fear or follow an agenda or whatever. You understand what I'm trying to say?
Trying to rustle some jimmies.
Yeah. Psychologically manipulating people into doing things, you know, like lab rats or whatever. Now, if what I've been told by the mainstream media is true, and if what I've been told by the alternative media is true, we got serious problems. And we should be addressing these problems. But if I'm out here saying, "Hey, you know, we got this problem, shouldn't we address this problem?" And there's nobody stepping up to the plate to, like, at least discuss addressing this problem, then I got to question whether or not, number one, whether or not the problem was urgent enough to, you know, it's kind of like you heard a little bit about Fukushima radiation going into the deal. You heard about the seas dying off. You heard about all the mass die-offs of different animals and stuff. You've heard about global warming / climate change / climate disruption and whatever it's going to be next week when the math doesn't add up. You've heard about Planet X. You've heard about alien invasions. You've heard about all. And I'm saying, look, if all this stuff is true, if any of it's true, then, you know, now's the time to get together and formulate a plan or something. You know, the doomsdayers, they got a plan. They're bunkering down. They're stockpiling and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, could you imagine stockpiling all of your life away and then not ever seeing doomsday, not ever seeing World War III or the Second Civil War or all that? You got all this crap laying around everywhere, guns and ammunition and food sources and all that kind of stuff, and you're ready to go, man. Doomsday gets here, you climb up in your bunker and you got your family all up in there. There was a show one time where a family thought that the nuclear war was on the way, so they literally went in and they locked themselves in inside this doggone deal, and then years later the son grew up and he'd never seen the outside, and he ended up going out into the world, and the world wasn't destroyed like Dad thought it was going to be. But they lived down in this, it was a really cool bunker. It even had its own water source down there and electricity and enough food to last for 20, 30 years or something like that, you know. And I just think about, you just kept your family in a hole away from the outside world for all those years. On one hand, it's kind of cool, but then on the other hand, you gotta feel bad for them. You hear that? Somebody calling me right in the middle of my show. I'm gonna pick it up live on air. Yeah. Lying in use, two missed calls. Duct tape and bailing wire on the 200th show. So, what the heck am I getting at, man? I've done 200 shows. 200 nights of the round table. And I've been talking about problems for so many years. Been talking about solutions to those problems in the alternative media section on the Mad Science Show, which was a lot longer than 200 shows. And I think the Mad Science Show was probably, I want to say, at least 6 months to a year before the Knights of the Round Table came around. And so between the two of them, you're looking at some serious hours sitting out here talking to people out there in this world. Met a lot of awesome people, man. Met a lot of brilliant people through this show. And I think we got a few things accomplished, and I think we talked about a lot of stuff. I think we immortalized our words of wisdom in the digital realm for eternity. And so hopefully, 1,000 years from now, somebody will run across a podcast of the Knights of the Round Table and they'll say, you know what? It's apparently everybody back in them days wasn't as stupid as we thought they were. There were some folks out there really trying. But the masses seem to have won out. You know, Thomas, you got folks out there actually contemplating on nuclear war. Let that sink in for a second. Actually contemplating on a nuclear war. Now, was it? I don't know what the heck they're thinking. But basic science tells me that back during the time when Hiroshima and Nagasaki went down, that wasn't a very big bomb that did a lot of devastation, and there's some bombs nowadays that make that one look like a firecracker. And so, if there are global elite out there with deep underground bunker cities that believe that they're actually going to be able to survive an onslaught of 10 and 20 megaton nuclear warheads, and then one day come up out of the ground and be able to, you know, rule the depopulated planet in the way that they see fit, I say they got another thing coming, man. What do you think? Are you still there? Man, Thomas got his microphone shut off or something. Or he went to sleep.
Oop, my microphone was muted.
What do you think, man?
I think talk, I'm still stuck on the part about talk. What is it doing? Shoot, I don't see no doing.
Well,
let's get doing, man.
I'm only one man. I got arthritis, bursitis, tendonitis, gingivitis.
You know, there's an old song that goes something like this. Excuses, excuses, you'll hear them every day. The devil will supply them if church will stay away.
What do you
say? I think it applies here, too.
What do you
say? To everybody that's involved in this, man.
agree.
I said we get busy and try to get something done, man.
What do you expect me to throw on my Superman shirt and my...
dungarees, man. Dungarees.
My red blankie and make me a cape and swoop down into the city. And
I think if you do that, you're going to get locked up for being a loony. But, you know, we need to put the lab coats on or the, you know, the overalls on and, you know, get back in the lab, man. We need to start broadcasting lab casts.
Yeah, that sounds good. So in my personal life...
Start letting people know when we're going to do it so they can tune in for that and, you know, get involved as best they can. We need better manufacturing, too. We really need to focus on that.
In my personal...
Like I said, it all comes down to the parts. Could you fix it? No, we didn't have the parts.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, then let's get the tools to make the parts. Let's stop, you know...
In my personal
messing
life,
around, let's get something done, man.
In my personal life, I'm proactive. I get out there and I try to help my community. And I got a large family and I try to help them as well. I try to do what I can for people and... you know, go out and chop firewood when firewood's needed, or take people things, or fix somebody's car, or, you know, help them whatever I can. And so I network out that way. I network out with my friends, and we share resources together, and we're actually, you know, doing. We're not just talking. But there's 9 billion people in this planet, and I'm hoping... that out of these 9 billion people, enough of them...
Now, let me ask you something. Okay, the guys that put together the whole concept of using AC power, how many people's lives did they affect just by that one small action?
Well, yeah, it changed the world.
And how many people, how much work would have got done if they sat around talking about doing it? And then somebody pulled the plug and didn't give them the funding, and they chose to just give up and walk away.
Well,
see what I mean? It's not about going out and saving the world, dude. It's about making one change that you can make. You know, you never know what that change is going, how that change is going to affect the entire world. Don't worry about trying to save the whole world. Don't try to worry about trying to save every single problem that there is in the world there. Just pick one that you think you can manage and, you know, work on it. And the listeners that are out there, same thing. Pick something you think you can manage and start working on it. And if you succeed at completing it, there's a good chance that that's going to end up having a tremendous event, a cascading effect on everything else that is wrong in the world. I mean, there are tons of people whose lives have not ended now because they were in a hospital that had electricity so that they could basically be worked on in the middle of the night. Or they were on machines that kept them alive through the night and then woke out of whatever it was that was wrong with them and spent the rest of their life with their family, you know?
Yep.
All because of AC electricity. Otherwise, you know, there would have been far fewer hospitals. There would have been far fewer, you know, it just would have been far more limiting if we'd have still been trying to run on DC like they were originally running on. And even that changed things dramatically. I mean, we'd never would have had the AC if it weren't for the DC. You know, there would have never been something to build on top of had somebody not been out there building, generator motors to, you know, further the power down the line and, you know, running that whole complicated system that they once thought was a fad that would, you know, go away one day and no one would care about it.
I hope you don't think that I've wasted 600 hours or more or 200 shows or...
I think you put too much stress on the talking about this stuff. Maybe you give people the wrong impression that talking is, you know, so important, but, you know, the doing is also important too.
Oh,
the
sure.
The writer is only one part of the piece of the puzzle.
Sure, I'm trying to motivate the world, man.
Yeah, so what do we do about that?
I mean, how do we
motivate people to get out there and do something? Can we put a showcase together where people can start bringing all their doing together to share with each other? You know what I mean?
That's a...
Not just in video, too, but, like, maybe, you know, we need to populate, and you need to push that store, man. Not just as a store to sell things, but a store to collect things. I mean, you know, open sourcing and stuff like that, plans, stuff like that, that people can download for free if somebody wants to give it away for free, you know?
Yeah.
Let's get that together. But we got to get together during the week and actually work on something like that. We can't work on that while we're yakking about, you know, what we're going to do during the week. You got to have your planning time and you got to have your doing time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a 24/7 job, believe me.
So let's pick a night where we actually sit down and start working on stuff and shout it out that we're going to be doing that. And if people want to get involved and help make something happen, they can do it too. They can jump on and, you know, actually, you know, all hands on deck.
See, now, in every crowd there is a motivator, in every crowd there's an organizer, and there is a mechanic and a cook and so on and so forth. I'm not an organizer.
You can't pick a time?
I can point out the things that I've learned and show people and try to teach people things that I've learned. But getting them motivated, you know, that's up to each individual out there, you know. Sure, I can pick a time. I can be wherever I'm needed. You know?
Well, that's what you got to do sometimes. You got to just pick a time, tell people you're getting up and going, and then walk off. And whoever follows, follows. Don't worry about who follows. Just go. There are a lot of people that want to go somewhere, but, you know, they just don't know where to go, so they'll jump up and follow behind you, you know? Just make sure you're going someplace decent, man. Don't take them down the road that some of these other knuckleheads are trying to take everybody down. Taking them down to a nuclear war or whatever, you know, like we've been talking about.
No, my point about bringing all that kind of stuff up is that this, for all these years doing these radio shows,
mm-hmm.
I've been trying to point out to folks that, you know, not to be panicking to verify information that's coming to them from any direction. It doesn't matter where. And, you know, sharing links in the chat and sharing the information to people on social medias, getting together working on projects and getting on to the shows to give people more ideas and more information. That's what this is all about, man. It's about bringing the brilliant minds to the table and, mm-hmm. and getting them to, you know, network with one another. You realize how many people have actually met on the nights of the Round Table or the Mad Science Show who later went off to work beside each other?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that was the point. If you get those kind of people pointed towards each other, then, you know, they're going to be out there, they're going to research. And I've seen a lot of that research come back down the pipe, you know. A long time ago, There's a deal that I shared on, I think it was yesterday's show, that I shared about a motor that I designed years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I just threw it out there. I could have, like, kept it under my hat and never shared it with anybody, and I could have just built it myself.
Mm-hmm.
But now you go out there and look on YouTube, and you'll see people who have built similar models to the design that I did probably 15, 20 years ago. And I animated that idea and I put it out there. And it's been out there. It's been on the old website, it's on the new website, you know. And I just threw it out there. There was tons and tons of other ideas that had to do with mechanics and science and stuff that I just threw out there to the world. Just so that somebody would take that idea and run
with it. Do something
with it. Justin wants you to pull him in today.
Uh-oh. What are we doing here?
I don't know.
I don't know if I can pull him in, man. You might have to.
So,
Nope. Can't pull him in. You gotta do it.
So, anyway. My words, my my drawings, my ideas, my videos, everything that I've been doing all this time was to get people motivated and give people ideas. I don't know everything there is to know about anything, but I do know enough that maybe something that I, some information I got would be the missing piece in the puzzle in somebody else's research. And if we can teach each other things, and I've learned a lot from, the people on the Mad Science Show. I've learned a lot from the people on the Knights of the Round Table. And I shared that information with everyone else that you know, I came in contact with. There is something to be said about sitting at the table, man. You know, I agree with you. Things need to get done. I'm only one man in a 2 or 9 billion people planet, and I can't do everything that needs to be done. I don't have all the resources necessary. I throw an idea out there, somebody wants to take off and run with it, and they can get something accomplished. Heck, I don't even care if they get rich off of an idea that I threw out there. It's, to me, it's not about that. It's about trying to get our society moving in the right direction, as opposed to all this craziness we keep hearing. You know, I sat around and I listened to people, and we've had heated debates about all kinds of stuff. But I still stand firm on the thing is that I believe that this world, if used properly by humanity, could literally bring about a heaven on earth. There shouldn't be anybody doing without anything. Shouldn't be anybody starving to death. Shouldn't be any wars over resources. And so I keep repeating that. And some folks, maybe they don't want to hear it. Some folks maybe just walk away.
Well, they don't matter.
But the
people who are staying and listening are the ones that, and actually doing something with what was put out there is what matters. Focus on them, you know. You know what they say, you can lead a horse to water.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to lead people to water. I'm trying to lead people to the resource or whatever. I don't know if we live on a flat earth. I think we live on a round earth. I think we're going through space. I mean, at least that's what I was taught. But I'm not concerned about the shape of the world. I'm concerned about the shape the world's in. If it's polluted, and my kids and my grandkids got to be raised up in it, and society is going to continuously deteriorate. If you listen to Paul Harvey, what he said in 1965, and you compare it to today, that man, he must have seen the future coming before it got here. Because you can't listen to those words and tell me you don't see that already.
Right.
And even some of the most brilliant individuals out there will waste their time trying to argue with me over whether Santa Claus is real or not. Hey, if I want to believe in Santa Claus and the Tooth Fairy, that's mine. Man, if it makes me feel comfortable. I mean, the mainstream media told me the world was crap. The alternative media told me the world was crap. Or else I wouldn't be sitting here talking to people trying to say, look, you know, the world don't have to be crap. I mean, look out there in this world. It's a beautiful planet we live on. We can live in harmony with nature. We can have a good, clean, alternative, renewable energies. There's so many different ways, you know. And every time I started into alternative energy, that's why I said yesterday that I'm going back to my research.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had listened to everybody, all the naysayers out there telling me all this time, oh, well, no, this will never work. You need to go by this. This is what everybody else is working on, you know. That's why I know names like John Bedini and John Hutchinson and all the different names that you hear out there in the alternative community. That's why I know all their names. That's why I did all the research on Tesla and everything else out there. And I got people that want to sit around and argue with me about what a Tesla coil really is or what it isn't, or, you know. And, you know, I allowed that to take me away from my initial research, which had to do with plasma and a generation of energy.
Can you see my video?
No.
Turn to your screen. It's got it on there.
I see your picture.
You can't see video? Really?
No, because there's two people in the room now.
There is?
Justin.
Who'd you add?
We added Justin, whether he picked up or not, I don't know.
Oh, I don't even see him. He's not showing up in there. You sure he added? You added him?
Yeah, he's in mine, and I can see. But he probably just didn't pick up.
I see another room, but that's not the room we're talking in. This room is not on or running or anything.
Well, anyway.
You see, so hold on, let me see something here. You didn't pick up though, huh?
Well, that's all right.
Hold on a second. Let's see if we can fix this.
Anyway, I lost my train of thought.
That's all right. Getting derailed means sometimes you end up finding a new rail.
Yeah, well,
I got frustrated when it would happen to me, but then I realized that sometimes it ends up working to my advantage. So,
I can see mechanically things working. In my mind, I can see things working. Now, I don't always have the proper terminology to say it the way that people want to hear it or expect to hear it or to match their understanding of things. But I spent a lot of time listening to a lot of people tell me how wrong I am about a lot of subjects. You know, not excluding my faith. And so to bounce away from that and to keep moving forward to actually finally get to a point where this is the 200th Knights of the Round Table that we've done. And every single one of the 200 Knights of the Round Table, there were some words of wisdom that were put out there, not for my benefit, but for everyone else out there, to hopefully take that little nugget of information and run with it. Now, if I spent 600 hours on the Knights of the Round Table, then there's got to be that equal in the mad science realm as well, and then some, because the Mad Science Show was around a lot longer than the Knights of the Round Table. The Knights of the Round Table came about because I started watching as the communities of networks had started falling apart. And so it looks like we lost Thomas and them. Alright, well, maybe they'll call back. So anyway, throwing those words of wisdom out there, I don't feel like was a waste of time. If it helped anybody, then it was worth it. It seems like it's crashing on me. You know, it's like supposed to be all exciting. Yay, woohoo, 200 fireworks and all that kind of jazz. Let's try this again. All right, now you're back.
Am I back?
Yeah.
So we're all in the same room or what? I mean...
No, you're back by yourself. Justin was there for a brief moment and then now he's gone.
Okay, so let's try to add him to this room and not... I don't know, Skype is pulling some shenanigans again. I still had that other room that wasn't doing anything and I tried to clear it out to, you know, clean up Skype and all of a sudden it removed me from the call.
Did you add him?
Yeah. I'm here.
Alright, now, I had a point that I was trying to make and then the Skype shenanigans came about. So... I sat around and sometimes may have sound repetitive trying to push an idea to the world out there to get people to the table to start working on things together. And all these ideas, I don't feel like were wasted because forever more immortalized in the digital realm are 200 podcast of the Knights of the Round Table alone, and just as many or more Mad Science shows. And so if those ideas out there ever benefit anybody, so much as one person, and as far as that goes, that makes it worthwhile in my point of view there. So that's what I'm saying. I've heard it all from every different direction. All the doomsday, all the government conspiracies, all the secret societies, everything from lizard people to freaking secret underground alien bases and so on and so forth. What I haven't heard on a large scale is how you resolve all this mess. You know? If they're still telling me the government's corrupt after all these years and we ain't been able to fix it, then apparently the world isn't trying to fix it. Because common sense dictates that if you have the resources such as we've got, it don't take no 30, 40 years to figure out how to feed people. It don't take no 30, 40 years how to figure out how to stop the wars. We're not going to run out of any resources. I don't care how brilliant you think you are out there or how tough you think mankind is. There is not one single resource, including fresh water, crude oil, or anything, that this planet will ever, ever run out of. It could sustain 10 times the population and still not run out of any resource out there. Now you can pollute your fishbowl until you kill yourself off, but nonetheless, every single chemical that was here the day that this planet came together is here today. When we build it and nature deteriorates it, it gets absorbed back into the system and recycled. Nature is the best recycler in the whole entire whatever. And so with that said, there ain't no reason to be fighting over oil. There ain't no reason to be fighting over resources, land, or any of that stuff. And so I'm hoping that I can get these words of wisdom in the ears of the people out there in leadership or whatever, and at the very least open a dialogue with them. What's the point of depopulating the planet? You know, some people say, well, you kill off all the stupid people. Really? You want to live around a bunch of people that know it all? Nobody to share your knowledge with because everybody knows it all? And a bunch of know-it-alls in the same room gets obnoxious. Because they're always trying to outdo each other, trying to prove something to each other. Oh, I know more than you. I'm a better mathematician than you. I know more about history than you. I've seen it. I've seen networks come and go, fall on their face because of internal fighting people couldn't get along. And here we are doing the 200th Knights of the Round Table. Because I don't know it all. I don't claim to know it all. But what I do have is some common sense to look out in this world and see that all these problems out there that people believe that they got, if properly addressed by all the people of this planet, can be resolved. Some of the ideas, some of the problems out there in this world could be resolved overnight. But until you get the mindset out there into the world that you aren't helpless, then you're going to see exactly what we've been seeing all these years. I've even had my friends tell me I'm standing on a soapbox. And in reality, I don't care. Because if I'm being told...
Hey, you know what you tell them? Obviously, I'm not reaching enough people. Maybe I need something other than a soapbox. Maybe I need to jump on top of a taxi cab.
Yeah, we did this shout it from a mountain. We did it from the shout it from the mountain. We tried to get people out there to call... what they wanted to say to the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if everybody keeps telling me the world's bad, and I keep talking out and trying to tell everybody, let's fix it, let's fix it, let's fix it, and nobody steps to the plate, that's not my fault. You know, I fix what I can in my neighborhood. When the elderly need something, I give it to them. When my kids need something, I give it to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you're doing the same thing on your side, and we can all meet in the middle and help the folks on the other side that don't have the resources that we got, you know, word of mouth is a big thing. I talked about one time about, wouldn't it be cool to see how far a smile would travel from your face around this globe? If you could literally follow that smile off your face to the next person and so on down the line. Well, the same thing is with the positive pebbles and the ripples I keep talking about throwing into the pond. You know, the pay it forward concept. It's really kind of brilliant when you think about it. And the paying attention to what's going on in the world. I don't like talking about conspiracy theories. I don't like talking about doggone aliens from space. Look, I put a comment on a chat video, on a video. I said, what in the heck would the aliens from outer space want with us? You know, what do we have to offer? They're like, oh, they're going to come down and eat us. All right, well, so we're food for the aliens. We're slaves to the Illuminati and the Freemasons and all them, and that's all we got. So it's all doom and gloom, and we're screwed. It's time to walk away.
What have they been here eating us all along? What they eat though are our dreams.
Well, then it's
basically something you're throwing away. Basically, something most of these people are throwing away anyway.
Then it's time that we militarize our dreams in our mind and do some virtual kung fu on them so they don't eat our dreams.
Do we need to militarize ourselves against our plants?
You know,
the plants in the world, because they're eating our breath.
Well, we got a symbiotic relationship with plants.
That's what I'm saying. If they're eating our dreams, it may be a symbiotic relationship where basically it causes us to dream more.
I played a song earlier from Black Sabbath. Said it's a song that Heaven and Hell. It said the world is full of kings and queens that blind your eyes and steal your dreams. And it's a battle between good and evil going on out there. You got to decide which side of the fence you want to be on. The dark side or the light side. And let's get it on, man. Let's get it on with doomsday's coming. Let's just throw down and whatever's left.
See, I keep saying that's wrong. That's just basically more division. There is no fence. There never was.
Well, I don't know. If the angel can stand next to the demon peacefully, then and everybody get along, I suppose that'd be all right.
And what if there are no angels or demons? What if they're the same thing?
Well,
we just—it's all your perspective as to what you call them.
What if there are lizards? What if there are lizard people? You know, there's a conspiracy out there that says the queen's a lizard.
Well, we got plenty of lizards living in the desert, and we get along just fine with them. There are people who go out there and kill them and eat them, and they don't fight back.
Look, as long as they try to hide,
but that's about it.
As long as they're not trying to eat our children, I ain't got an issue, man. I can live along a lizard. You know, they just behave yourself. Don't be trying to, you know, chew on.
Yeah, don't be eating no children, man. That's the worm's job.
Can you understand what I'm talking about? I'm saying, look, we got a beautiful planet with all the resources necessary, and all the doom and gloomers are running around like chickens with their head cut off, hollering the sky is falling. The boy keeps crying wolf all the time. Doomsday date keeps getting moved from Saturday to Sunday to Monday to Tuesday all the way back around the other side, and the next month and then a year from now, you know, Planet X is coming, it's going to blast us, we heard the comet Elenin, we heard the, you know, all the way back to the Y2K and all this. I'm tired of the doom and gloom, I'm tired of the fear porn, I'm tired of the self-righteous people out there in the world that believe they know everything there is to know, when in reality there's not one living single soul on this planet who knows all the answers to all the questions that ever existed. Otherwise, they themselves would be God. Period. And they can't resolve nothing. If we're still hearing about this whole deal, they said that the debate was over. Climate change was real. Global warming. The planet's heating up. We're going to die. And what I say to them is, does it take 20 or 30, 40 years in order to boil a pan of water? You moron. Don't take that doggone long. It only takes a 13 degree temperature difference to cause catastrophic weather throughout the entire globe. And so, why is it taking so doggone long for the planet to heat up? And when you got 20 inches of snow on your driveway, that's something to be said about that whole warming thing, right? Anyway, they don't base their reality on common sense. Their reality is merging with my reality, and it's aggravating me because I see the world could be a wonderful place and have everything necessary to take care of everybody. I mean, come on, man. There's so much stone around here. Did you see back in the old days when they used to build really neat-looking castles out of stone? And, you know, you tell me you can't pick up a couple tons of rocks and make some concrete and build somebody a house so they don't have to be homeless? No, because somebody got to landlock all this doggone, call it natural reserve or something like that. You know, the government's going to own all this property.
Like the house out behind your place?
Yeah, well, have you noticed that I offer people to come hang out with me around here? Have you noticed that I try to use my land to try to take care of folks? Have you noticed that I try to take my land and build it so that family reunions and events can bring people together?
Right. What would it take for you to build an easement over your road then? Would it take the, like say the bank that's still holding the note on that other house to just basically turn it over to the general populace? Say that the house can be demolished and it can be turned into a garden. Would you build an easement so people could walk back and forth through there to get that food that's grown for free?
Why not? not?
So there is an option. That's what I'm saying. Because you said there'd never be one. I say you're when you said that, you were probably thinking of it from the perspective of, you know, the greed of the bank.
That's it.
Maybe someday somebody will finally open their eyes and, you know.
If the banker could get their doggone act together and stop trying to steal from me and the general population.
Mm-hmm.
You know, during the housing crisis, they got bailouts from the government, which was taxpayer money. Then they got to keep the properties. Then they got to foreclose on the properties. Then they got to resell the properties.
Yep. And the government was right there with them.
That's right. The people got screwed multiple times. They lost their homes. They paid taxes to lose their homes.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I don't owe the banker nothing. Now, the banker as a person, if he's laying in the ditch starving or bleeding to death, I will feed him. I will take care of him. But if this is a greed issue to where you're going to walk right all over me and my family and get what you want just so that you can line your pockets, you're not benefiting nobody but the bank when you do that.
Right.
These are the kind of things that I've been talking about all these years. You know, there ain't no reason for these governments to get by with what they get by with outside of the people being blinded by the propaganda that is poured on them on a regular basis. Now, granted, the mainstream media and alternative media have been butting heads for so long, and now the alternative media is starting to gain ground because the average Joe's starting to recognize there's certain people that probably should be in jail that ain't, and they're starting to get a little ticked off about it. You know, this election is probably the most bizarre election cycle that I've ever seen in my entire life here in the United States. You got one candidate that has done everything illegally and has committed perjury and fraud and everything under the sun, but yet still running for president.
Mm-hmm.
You got the other one who probably didn't get where he didn't, where he's got by not stepping on toes, but is saying everything that the people want to hear at the point in time. Will he follow through if he ever was to be elected? That's to be seen. And so the choice is on the table there as far as who's going to be the leader of the free world. The only option I got is to vote against the mainstream media, to vote against the establishment candidates or the whatever, the guys and gals who's been in Senate and Congress for 30, 40 years, and so far we ain't seen nothing get done.
Right.
And the corporations out there who are sending factories overseas and polluting everybody else's land over there because they know they couldn't get by with it over here. You know, those folks need to be held accountable. Am I the one to hold them accountable? I hold them accountable with my words, because I don't mince no words when I talk about what I think about the bank. I don't talk when I talk about the corporations, when I talk about the elite government officials that's been there for 30, 40 years. And they even say the same doggone thing about the so-called Illuminati, Freemasons, and all the different secret societies out there. They only got power because we the people choose to allow them to have power. That's it. When in reality, if we stood our ground and we did what needed to be done, there wouldn't be no talk of secret societies and governments out of control. Right now, there's talk about Russia, China, and the United States going to nuclear war. Oh, you got to throw Britain in there too. And people don't get it. I don't care how deep you are in any bunker out there. It's not going to matter. Your doomsday prepper plan and your bunker plan, all that, it's not going to matter. Because if this world ever comes down to an all-out thermal nuclear war, we're all screwed. Period. No ifs, ands, or buts. You'll see a nuclear winter unlike anything that you'd ever want to possibly imagine. Won't be no infrastructure for heating and cooling and all that kind of stuff. You'll get all the cooling you want because once you blow all that crud up into the atmosphere and block out the sunlight, the temperature's going to drop drastically. And if you were worried about global warming before the thermonuclear war occurred, well, you wouldn't have to worry about it anymore. You have to be worried about whether or not you had thick enough earmuffs to keep the frost off your brain. So, what I'm trying to say to people out there is when you hear your politicians out there talking smack about even, I don't care if even in jest about World War III, then you should be on the phone saying, hey, you guys serious about this? Because, I don't want none of that. But the average Joe seems to be complicit. Seems to be complicit with the mainstream propaganda and even complicit with the alternative media propaganda. What they're all failing to see is that when they get what they wanted, like such as the anti-government people finally get no government, then you live in a world with a road warrior mentality, Thunderdome kind of thing. And if you do need the cops, they ain't coming. Once you destroy society, it's gone. Once you lose your freedoms that basically, I talk about the Constitution, I hear people always telling me, oh, well, the Constitution, this and that, it's a fraud, and, you know, and it was written by racists and all this kind of stuff. What kind of idiot would sit there and try to convince a patriot that the founding fathers were nothing more than slave owner, racist, hateful? I don't even care if they were criminals or slave owners for that matter. How we got here doesn't matter. The fact that we're here right now and the only thing between us and a tyrannical government is a perception of a piece of paper that says we the people on the top of it. And as far as the global warming / climate change crowd, same thing, same concept. If the planet's heating up and you're doing everything you can to stop people from researching alternative energy, regardless of whether you think they're right or wrong, you should encourage them to be trying to fix it. And the atheist versus the believer community, same concept. The average lifespan, 60 to 80 years, maybe 100 if you're lucky. If you don't believe in God, more power to you. If you do believe in God, more power to you. Same thing. You're wasting your life. Go on down the road and do something productive. And this goes on through Democrat, Republican, Libertarian, all of them. While we're sitting down here bouncing off each other like some sort of bumper pool game, arguing over stupid stuff, we got knuckleheads that are driving the bus over the cliff. And until we the people actually recognize what that, why it says on the top of that doggone document in bold print, we the people, then you're going to get what you got. That's it. The Knights of the Round Table is only as good as the people that are willing to use it. If you're willing to get up on the microphone and talk to your other brothers and sisters out there respectfully and try to resolve issues and get things going, then we got a chance. Because no plan ever starts until somebody opens their mouth and puts a good idea on the table. Hey, let's go over here and do this and fix this. If there's still people in this world starving to death after 200 Knights of the Round Table, then I still got something to talk about. Because I don't feel like they should be starving to get death in a world that we've got that is so incredibly amazing. We got resources. We got Thomas, who's brilliant in chemistry, that can sit there and tell you what kind of different materials that you can mix with that. There's a resource that you have access to. Just come up here and talk to the man. You know, and it doesn't stop there. Well, there's tons and tons of brilliant minds out there. If you can get them to the table, you can get them working together. Thomas and Raymond's working on projects together. We're all working on projects together. Justin's got his projects in Canada going on. He's proactive out there. We need people to share a podcast on doggone social medias. We need people to talk to friends about things, ideas that they've heard on these shows. We need them to respond to us and tell us about what they think about it, whether you think we're right or wrong. But until we get the folks out here motivated, try this. Everybody listening to this show, just try this one time. One time. Go outside. Shut down your phone. Shut down your brain as far as don't think about all the craziness going on, all the soap operas in your family and all the drama and all that kind of stuff. Just walk around and look around you and see what is around you. Look up in the sky, look down at the ground, listen with your ears. And you're going to see there's a world outside there with amazing things going on. There is resource after resource after resource. Just on my land alone, I found enough food to feed an army that I never even really realized was there. I got walnuts on this property. I got peaches. I got grapes. I got doggone plums and those nasty persimmons, all kinds of... It just goes on and on. And there's plants out there that I could eat if I had to.
Don't forget the fruitcake in the freezer.
Oh, yeah. That'll last through the apocalypse. But my point is, if anybody needs that food, I want to give it to them. Because I don't really own this land. As far as this land is concerned, I'm just the kind of caretaker. I'm just kind of using it right now. And it belongs to my creator. It belongs to the world. Just like all that land out there that the government's got locked up. They don't have no right to claim that. If somebody's homeless and somebody's starving to death and there's a plot of land that they could have built them a house on, or a tent or something, you know... This is mind-blowing to me. That we go out across to a foreign nation and fight with them over their oil or their gas reserves or their power structure or their business, period. When we got enough troubles right here in our own home. No Chinese proverb, he who lives in glass house shouldn't throw a stone. But there's stones flying in everybody's house these days. This is why I started the Knights of the Round Table. Because the talking isn't over. The debate isn't through. There's still things to be accomplished. And if these words coming out of my mouth can land in the right ears of the right motivated individual who'll go down the street and find that neighbor that needs help and help them out, then it's worthwhile. You guys understand what my point is? It ain't a soapbox. It ain't a waste of time. You know, some folks call it preaching to the choir. Talking to folks that, well, I believe the same way you do. Well, then get up here and shout it, doggone it.
Amen. We need more people to get up off their lazy butt
and do something. They want to sit around and listen to you preach from your soapbox? No. Confucius said, the longest journey starts with a single step. Somebody needs to get up. Now, you've gotten up. Mama got up. Justin's here. I'm here. Now, who else is going to stand up? Who else wants to call in and say their piece?
Yeah.
Who out there? I bet, what is it, 3 million, 3,600,000 listeners? Who else is going to stand up and take that single step, call in, join us?
Maybe folks just, maybe they just ain't got the drive, man.
No,
I'm not going to walk away.
Wait a minute.
I'm not going to shut up.
You said something about World War III.
Yep.
Okay. How did World War II start? How did it start? Because nobody wanted to stand up and slap this sucker in the face and say, hey, what are you doing? You're rallying a bunch of people around you that are fed up. And everybody else wasn't fed up. So they didn't want to step up and do anything. As long as people don't step up, some a-hole is going to get a lot of people riled up.
Yeah, we're not trying to advocate an overthrow of the government. We're trying to advocate and getting your act together and getting involved before you pull the lever to vote for whoever.
People together to stop the crap, the BS that's going on. Stop it.
Yeah,
everybody pull together to be human beings. No matter who the heck you are.
If the mainstream media is lying to you and you know they're lying to you, stop buying from their doggone...
Whoa, wait a minute. What is this word if? There is no if. They are lying to you.
Well,
mainstream media starts everything. They just want to sell their news.
That's right.
How do they do that? By getting advertisements. And how do they do that? By making things worse or better than they really are.
That's if what I said. I don't know how bad world is outside of my gate, but what I've been told by the alternative media and the mainstream media, from what they tell me, we got a serious problem.
Yeah, it's all a fairy tale.
Well, he who does not read the newspaper is uninformed. He who reads the newspaper is misinformed. Samuel Clemens.
So, my deal is, if it's all a fairy tale and it's all fantasy and none of it's real and it's all just a dream and all that kind of stuff, what's the point? And, you know, I'm going to feel awful foolish whenever Doomsday never shows up. Well, actually, I probably feel vindicated because I don't think Doomsday's coming.
Really?
It's coming.
Why they keep moving the date? Where's Planet X? The Nibiru.
There's no such thing as Planet X. If we do read the Bibles, it talks about the crossings. The crossings are the zodiac signs. We left, Pisces, and we're going into Aquarius. It's the crossings of the zodiac symbols.
And the Aquarius, and I'm a Libra, so I'm the scales of justice guy, and so here I am
right,
trying to balance out the scales of justice. Look.
There's a lot of things that are misinterpreted from these spells or words that have been written in these books. One person could read a science fair project and he can get it and bounce off of it this way, whereas somebody else can read it and get a totally different perception of that same thing. Right? So when somebody reads something about Planet X or the Flat Earth or this or that, they're observing it in their own duality. Right? So this is where all these things come in and misunderstanding and everybody butting heads and they're interpreting it the way that they want to interpret it, to their belief, right? That's what religion really means, is what you believe, what you observe in your lifetime.
So is there a government, secret government entity getting everybody high and freaking them out, man? How's my driving, man? I don't know. I think we're parked, man.
You know, I think... Oh, wait a minute. Justin just said everything when he said five bulbs, plural, books, plural, and then stock carbon phone. You said that is there a secret government? No, there's several secret governments, plural. What
you... Yeah, but the thing about this...
She said...
Who writes the books?
What you've been doing on the Ninth Round Table for several years now, trying to teach the people to come together.
Yeah.
People forget the governments, forget the books, forget the Bibles. Let's pull together as a people. No plural, plural. All the people come together as one people. I mean, Justin is genius.
I'm saying you don't have to forget your Bible. You just don't have to close your eye to other possibilities in the world.
Exactly. And that's exactly what Justin just said.
Right? We're all here. And, yeah, there's a lot of good things that are going on in the world. Right. Yeah, okay. Maybe it's not so good over here or so good over there, but over there, it's going good. And then all that good goes somewhere. It comes back. It goes and disperses. There's ups and downs of everything, but we can't dwell, because if we all start dwelling, then that's what kind of psychosis that we're going to have. We're going to have that behavior algorithm, that repetitive pattern over and over.
He who does not study history is doomed to repeat it.
His story, her story, it's irrelevant, but it's important.
Very important.
Boy Scout manual said to be prepared.
Yes, sir.
But World War III, right now, the psychosis, the mental disease that is audacious that we have, it's inevitable.
I'm talking about when all talking's over, when the gloves completely come off, and the thermonuclears, the 10 and 20 megaton nuclear warheads begin to fly. I don't care whether you're the president of the United States deep underneath some doggone mountain. I don't care whether you're the hillbilly out there in your prepper bunker. I don't care whether you're the richest person living in an old abandoned missile silo and you think you got it made. I want to be the first to say basic science tells me that every single man, woman, and child on this planet will without a doubt be completely and utterly screwed. You're not going to survive down in that bunker. You're going to be one of the first ones to go down in that bunker. And I'd rather be out there in a blinding flash and get it over with an instant to go through what you're going to go through down in that bunker. So it needs to not happen. It needs to be shouted out to all four points of the compass that it needs to never occur. What happened in Hiroshima and Nagasaki was not only terrible, it was hideous what some of those folks went through. And those were small bombs compared to the nuclear arsenal that China, India, Russia, and the United States has. And the only reason why they haven't went all the way to the mutual assured destruction is because they know if they do, we're all screwed. So, before it ever even gets down that road, before the bus driver takes us over the cliff into the great abyss that we will never return from, we the people need to get our act together and start treating each other the way we should have been treating each other all along, and start finding the truth, putting the truth out there, and holding those accountable instead of being the enablers. it's easy to go buy the drunk another six-pack of beer to keep him from being rowdy. It's harder to stand there and help that person through the withdrawal symptoms to get them to the other side of that road. And that's what's going on out here in this world. People are addicted to everything under the doggone sun. And they're not spending their time doing what they should have been doing, is being caretakers of their family first, their friends, and the world in general.
So why are all of these people in the doing these repetitive behavior patterns over and over? Why are they going back to the drugs, the video games, and the bars?
Because
why are people living in this Down syndrome?
Because they haven't heard the words of hope that they should have heard a long time ago from their own family, who should have been their first line of defense, their first line of support. Now, if you're a drug dealer or drug user raising a child in that kind of environment, and then you're shocked at the way that your child turns out to be a drug dealer or a drug user when he grows up, if you're an abuser of that child whenever he's growing up, and then you're shocked that he went further than you did and abused his child even worse than you did, if you haven't paid attention to history like Raymond says all the time, then you're going to keep on doing the same thing. What you teach your kids is what they're going to teach their kids, and that's the society that's coming down the pipe.
Well, you see, kids are unimpeachable, and they're very knowledgeable. They haven't been controlled and corrupted and conformed into a parasitical, selfish being yet. And with every generation, children are seeing how sick their parents are. Their parents are yelling and screaming at them, telling them fairy tales like Santa Claus and this and that, telling them not to lie and not to be hypocrites, but yet the parents are doing that. And the kids are awakening and seeing this. The kids are our gods, and they're the future. They scribe and instill the next future. They're awakening and seeing this. So, the next politicians, the next presidents, the next people that are going to govern, control our countries, are our children. What are they awakening? What are they seeing?
I think Thomas says, the one told me about the movie Idiocracy. Sometimes I suggest watching it, and sometimes I advise against it. But that movie is pretty much the way that society seems to be heading, to where the average Joe is just so freaking incredibly stupid, and by the time it's all said and done, even the government and all the people who's supposed to be in the leadership power are incredibly stupid. And if it wasn't for whatever technology they managed to keep a hold of, then they wouldn't have nobody taking care of them, because they couldn't take care of themselves. I don't have the answers. I got some answers, but I don't have the answers. Until people understand, if you got a 500-piece puzzle, and there's one piece missing out of that puzzle, you ain't never getting the big picture. Each and every one of you is part of that piece of puzzle. There's a reason why nobody out here on this planet has every single talent, every single skill that there is to have. And without the roofer, or the plumber, or the painter, or the guy who lays the foundation, or the electrician, you don't build a house. And if you do, it's not that straight. And it doesn't function the way that that team would have done it. Now, I would suggest that the whole world develop a hive mind to where we work like ants. But I do suggest that people take some knowledge away from what nature shows. is that those who work together get amazing things accomplished, and those who don't sit around and complain. Period. I don't know what else to say that ain't been said. Two 100 shows of offering a microphone up to the world. 200 shows and an astronomical amount of funds behind the scenes and research and time to offer a big round table in cyberspace that can get... Cyberspace is huge. We can have 1 billion people around the table and still be able to put more. All these alternative media networks, if they could just understand and get their act together and start working with one another, this network right here has been networking with other networks forever and a day. They help us, we help them, we get our audience bigger and bigger and bigger, and we try to invite that audience to go out and start their self a network, and we'll join in with them. We get that round table so big. And we get the information flowing, and we get the people motivated. I got resources that I can help people with. If you've got something going on in my neighborhood that you need somebody, need something in my neighborhood, I can help them out. That's what I've been trying to say. I don't have a corporate jet that I can fly over and feed the people in starving countries. But somebody lives over there, somewhere. If you have access to the internet and you can help somebody out, man, there's people all over, there's missionaries running all over the place trying to help people. There are so many good people out there trying to do the right thing for their fellow humans out there. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I think there's a lot of people out there right now listening to this show that would like to stand up. And already have. We need to show other people that are listening that aren't standing up. So, all you listeners out there, those of you that want to stand up, do so. Just, Shazid, give them the URL, whatever it is necessary for them to do anything. Just send them a smiley face, say, I'm here.
You go over there to shazidradio.com/superchat.html and just say hi. Go to Facebook. Go to Twitter. Yes. Go to YouTube.
The longest journey starts with a single step. What we've done is we've stepped up. Now, what we want is company. We want to know that you are there. Do something for us. Let us know you're there. You're going to stand up and take that one single step. Let us know.
The CIA is supposedly in charge of Facebook.
Give them the URL again, this time real slow, so they can write it down. Do it.
All right, well, everybody gets their pens together and give me a minute. But they say that the CIA runs Facebook. They say that Facebook spies on you. They said the same thing about, what was that other one that went by the wayside? It wasn't Facebook. Had Mark or something on there. I can't remember. There's been so many social media networks. But all of them out here, and Google and all them, they spend a lot of time gathering up information about everybody. And so they want to know what you like so they can sell stuff to you. But even at that, you still have a platform out there if you're on Facebook. that you can talk to your friends and family and word spread. That's why I say share the podcast. Go to www.shazizradio.com or just Google Shaziz, S-H-A-Z-I-Z-Z, and you'll find it, the superchat.html. Jump over there and say hi to people. Meet new people and talk about all kinds of interesting subjects. Jump out there on Facebook. You know, you got 100 friends on yours and I got several hundred on mine and we share information with one another, then that's the way it all works, man. The money-making individuals out there, they figured out ways to make money on the internet. Get a viral video of something doing, do something just ludicrously stupid and get a viral video out there and have ads on it and generate revenue. They figured that out. That's why I say you always got to be weary of the doggone channels that are bombarding you with ads and sponsors and all that kind of stuff, because they want to get rich. Everybody wants to get rich. Everybody wants to talk about fixing the world and protecting each other from doomsday, but nobody wants to get out there and actually do the physical work that it actually takes in order to ensure that doomsday never even gets here. Maybe it's all talk. Maybe it's one man inside that crowd, but I still go back to what Ben did back in with TNS back in the day. He heard all the people. He heard all the stuff going on. He knew that you know, talk is cheap. You got to get people together. You got to put solutions on the table so people have options available. Shaziz Radio isn't the only option out there, but it is an option out there. Stand up to the microphone. Tell your people out there that, you know, what you need to tell them or whatever. Talk about subjects that need to be resolved, find solutions, share ideas, network with one another, network in your own communities. We've been saying this over and over again. For over 200 shows, if you go back and listen to them, you can hear ideas after ideas after ideas. You can hear offers of coming up to the microphone and joining us. It's so easy to become a Knight of the Round Table. You just make a Skype call and you become one of the Knights of the Round Table. As long as you want to be respectful to the other people out there, we can agree to disagree in a respectful manner. And just by showing up in the chat room, become an honorary Knight of the Round Table, posting links. Some folks don't like to get up and talk on a microphone, but it's not that bad, not that hard to get in there and talk to people in the chat room, if you understand what I'm trying to say. So, any more ideas, guys? Nope.
Yeah, I've got a few, but I had to shut the mic off. My industrial air conditioner was making a humming noise.
Is it hot in your neighborhood?
No, not really, but I kind of like the cold. That way I can wrap up and in my own little world and listen to you and everybody else. The thing is, everybody else is making noise. It's just me with my industrial air conditioner. I mean, am I getting silly? Yeah, I am. Because I really want to hear other people's thoughts, but they're not talking. They're listening.
Well, as long as they're talking to the people on, I never really went out and scanned around Facebook much, but I have noticed a lot of comments, a lot of likes on different subjects that I share with them, and you know, I know that a lot of my friends on Facebook listen into the show, and you know, they share information and stuff like that. So it's not like that it ain't being done. And if you're a person out there doing good works in your community, keep it up. Help motivate other people to do the same doggone thing. Lead by example. That's the way I believe. You get out there, you do things in your community, people see how well it turned out. there are some folks out there who will allow you to do all kinds of good things and just take advantage of the situation. Look, they always say, what's the word I'm looking for? They take for granted that you're always going to do this. When in reality, you might be doing that in order to try to convince them that, look, if you do this once in a while, your yard will look nice or whatever. You know? But you can't take other people's work for granted. You can't even take people's word for granted anymore. There was a time when a man's word was like gold, but nowadays it's kind of like, yeah, I'll be back on Saturday to give you the money for that. I'm really interested. You know, and then Saturday shows up and they never show up. If you tell somebody you're going to do something and you do it, then you understand what I'm trying to say.
I do. I understand exactly what you're trying to say.
We're doing what we can do. This is only 3 hours out of my day. The rest of my day is dedicated to trying to get things accomplished. And I share what I can with you on my Facebook and on my YouTube and stuff like that. And I wish that we could get the dream team together to actually build things in the alternative energy world. And I wish that we could get communities together. You know, I'm going to take a rope and a peg and a modified spray paint can. And I'm going to draw a huge circle out on my property. And I'm going to start working on a dome out there. And if anybody ever gets interested in, you know, helping me do that, then you're welcome to join me. But I'm going to build this thing for a new lab, for one. And to show people a different method of, construction or start from start to finish working. Adding the energy needs to it as I go. But building a self-contained dome that you can survive in. Obviously ain't going to be no bunker. And the planet X hits us, it's gone. But just showing something can be accomplished by one man, imagine what it could be accomplished by 9 billion men and women. It's a beautiful world out there, folks. It has a lot to teach you. It has more than enough resources. And if you could get past the selfishness and the greed, then we got it made. Otherwise, you get what you got right now. Just like Paul Harvey said, hey, it's coming. He said it in 1965, Raymond. He explained today in 1965.
I was there.
Well, I was there, but I was real young because I was born in
1965. 1965, I was a grown man. When I was in 1965, I thought I was a grown man.
You know, people talk about being enlightened and going to the next level and all this kind of stuff and all your third eye kind of stuff. And what they call that? Ascending. There's even books out there on ascending masters, you know. How long does it take for humanity to ascend to something better than what we see in front of us? How long does it take humanity to resolve the problem of starvation, war, disease, and craziness? If the evolutionists got it right, we've had millions of years to get it done. If the creationists are right, we've had 6,000 or 7,000 years to get it done. If Paul Harvey was right, we had 51 years to get it done. So why is everybody still telling me out there in the mainstream media and the alternative media that there's a terrorist behind every dang bush, and that there's still starving children in the world, and there's still refugees all over the planet? How can you be a refugee on your own planet? Can you answer that for me?
Yes, I can. There is one and one reason only that evil can succeed, and that's with good men. Don't stand up.
Yep. So, we're calling out to all the good men and women of the planet to unite with one another. And if you heard it on here, but you unite somewhere else, that's great. Just let us know that you did unite. Let us know that something we said made a difference. You know, send an email. Send me an email at shaziz@yahoo.com, or send a message on Facebook. There's even a link for a message here on Shaziz Radio. There's a contact section. It gives you all those deals.
S-H-A-Z-I-Z-Z.
Send some messages and tell this network how we've affected you either negatively or positively.
So, hey, we want to hear both. You're right. Tell us, if we've affected you negatively, we want to know. Tell us why. And if it's positive, tell us it's positive and why.
If we've offended you, let us know.
Yes, because we don't want to. If we have offended anyone, we want to know what we did or said that offended you, because we don't want to do that.
Well, I know I probably offended the Save the Tree people when I ridiculed them about holding a wooden stick and a paper sign saying "Save the Trees."
You know, I can see that. I can see how would be offended by that.
Yep.
Because they chop down a tree, they use a wooden stick. No, they didn't chop down a tree. They used a wooden stick that they recycled. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, come on, folks. I mean, we're here trying to pull people together. We don't want to offend anyone. So if we have offended you tree huggers using your wooden stick and your paper sign, we don't want to do that. We're not going to do that anymore. If that did truly offend you, let us know.
Yep. There's better ways to protest out here in this world. There's better ways to get things done. And, you know, we can all get to the table together and we can resolve these issues with one another and get it over with, man. That's what it's all about. That's what the whole Knights of the Round Table is all about. The Mad Science Show. We talk about alternative energy. You know, I get frustrated because I see that we have all these doggone resources that we could be using. We have all this technology that's been available since way back in the 1800s and sometimes prior. And you still got people out there, you know, naysayers for every single subject under the sun. It's almost as if, like that guy said in The Matrix, there's folks who will literally fight to the death to preserve the system that is enslaving them. Does that sound crazy to you? Sounds crazy to me. Why would you fight for a system that does nothing more than lie and steal from you? You got your friends and neighbors out there. Hopefully you can trust them and they ain't lying and stealing from you. Otherwise, I don't really think they're friends or good neighbors. But there are places out here, not just this network, but other networks out there available. Going to spend some time online. Might as well go connect up with these people and see what they're working on, and maybe you got something you need some help with or whatever. Some ideas. Just like the toolbox, man. I got tools in my toolbox, you got tools in your toolbox. And together, we can build a car. Something. Thomas, you still there?
No.
No. I spent the night in excruciating pain because apparently while taking the grandchildren out to the pumpkin patch, I must have pulled a muscle in my doggone arm. Prior to going to the pumpkin patch, I was out there with a shovel digging dirt to try to patch a leak in my pond. So, between shoveling heavy loads of dirt and carrying around grandchildren and a huge pumpkin that my youngest grandchild picked out, by the end of the day, I was wore out. But you know, it was a worthy day because I actually got something done. Made some memories, got some photos. Did something positive for the grandchildren, did something positive for the land. And none of that would have ever got resolved if I didn't want to get up off the couch or out of bed.
Amen.
So all we're asking is, like, maybe once in a while, you know, if you want your own radio show, tell you what, hit me up on Skype and we will set you up your own radio show. If you want to just join in, same thing. Jump over in the chat room, say, hey, you know, pull me in the phone call or whatever, you know. Tell your friends out there on Facebook and all that what we're doing over here. And like I said, if you don't show up here, go find some other network out there. That's fine. Just drop us a line and say, hey, you know, I was inspired by your words. And so we started our own network over here. Heck, if you want, we'll affiliate with you. And you guys can broadcast over here, vice versa. We can we can share the stream with people. People helping people, man. Sounds like such an easy concept. It's we the people, those big bold words on the U.S. Constitution and whatever paper that you guys got that separates you from what the government can do to you on your side of the fence. In reality, the 9 billion people on the planet, you are the government. If you choose to be that way. Not talking about total anarchy. You got enough problems. I'm talking about people coming together and resolving issues. Set me down in front of Congress, Raymond.
You know, I keep muting my mic and I keep activating it, and every time I activate my mic, that industrial air conditioner that I supposedly have is turned off, but yet I activate my
mic and I get this humming noise, so I'm afraid to say anything. You hear that noise?
Yeah, hey. Probably wind or feedback or whatever. Like I said, man, duct tape
really,
and bailing
really faint.
Wire.
It's really faint. It's not that loud.
Yeah, duct tape and bailing wire, man.
Hey, about that anarchy thing, man. There ain't nothing wrong with anarchy. What's wrong with the whole situation or people's definition of it, man? People keep thinking anarchy means no rules. That's not the truth. Anarchy means no rulers. There's still rules, but there are no rulers.
Right.
Well,
the people rule themselves, and that's the Constitution. If it were followed, would be the closest thing to anarchy you could get.
Yeah.
Rules without rulers.
Well, you know, like I said, even communism sounds good in theory.
In theory, yes.
But when put into practice, and the wrong person gets in charge, I kind of like the lead into our show. We're a narco-syndicate. I can't even say it now. you'll hear it again. But basically, they always say they have to vote. You know, they take turns. And they have a bi-weekly meeting. Oh, man.
Every form of government would bring about that heaven on earth, as you like to keep calling it, coining that phrase. If it weren't for the corruption of the people.
Yep.
That's why you have to work on a governmental system that the corruption of the people can't interfere with the governing body.
Well,
those running it can't ruin it, you know?
They got harsh penalties for criminals. They should have twice as hard penalties for corruption in government.
Well, like I said, we have all this technology too. Instead of turning the cameras on the people, let's turn the cameras on the government.
Yeah.
Transparency party, you know.
Well, it's like this: if a police officer gets in his car and pulls somebody over for speeding, and writes them a citation, which they're going to have to pay money on, and then the police officer gets out of the patrol vehicle and then gets in their own vehicle and speeds down the road. Then, to me, that is a hypocrite. And I feel that because of the job that a police officer does, he should be held at a higher standard than the average Joe, because he should know better, because he should know the law enough to know that what he's doing is wrong.
Well, see, that's a whole thing,
though. Whoa. Wait a minute. I'm 72 years old, and I'm not bragging about it. But exactly what you just said, Shaziz, I remember when I was a young man, I'm talking about my late teens, I wasn't even 20 years old, and the news media on television got on, they made a big deal out of this young man, 22, 23 years old, joined the police force, and they were going to chastise this guy. I mean, they made a big deal out of what a mean cop he was, because he was a dirty copper. He gave his own mother a speeding ticket.
Why not?
I mean, wait a minute. And his mother, after 3 or 4 days of the news chastising this guy, his own mother finally stood up and said, "What are you talking about? That's my son. I'm proud of him. He did his job. I was speeding. He gave me a ticket."
And that's the way the government should be, man. Period.
It goes straight. If you break the law, whether you're his mother, his father, or his brother or sister, doesn't make any difference. He was doing his job.
So, in theory, even our form of government could bring about heaven on earth if utilized properly. But we got like a huge mess going on, because between all the wading through all the lies and propaganda and just sheer corruption, you know, some people believe that the only way to get this resolved is to shake off this government and start over fresh. basically erase all the laws and that's that, you know, and then start over fresh. Problem with that is, it's so twisted, you don't know where what laws were put in for what purpose or whatever, and so basically you're going to have to go through and repeat that entire mess in order to get it right again. When in reality, if your car is broken down, you diagnose the car, you find the problem, and you fix it. It's simple as that. You put a new tire on and the wobble goes away. You know, and you maintain that car from that point on. And you got a good, reliable car. If you ain't maintaining your government and repairing it, replacing things as necessary, then you ain't gonna have reliability. And if you just throw the baby out with the bathwater, so to speak, now you're on foot, starting over again. We don't need to be on foot here in America, or anywhere in the world for that matter, unless we need exercise, and that'd be a plus. But as far as the political system, our government, the structure's fine. It's the knuckleheads that we keep putting in office that's a mess. And if they're saying war, we got to go to war, then you should be questioning their motives. What do you have to gain by sending our children to war? That's what you need to find out. Follow the money, man. See who's behind the scenes playing the Jerry Springer that's picking all the fights. I'm a white man who can get along with any color man. And I know there's plenty more out there like me. We're not out there having a race war with each other, so why you keep telling us that the race war is on the way? Does that mean I gotta fight with my friend? It ain't gonna happen. Cause me and my friend, whichever color he may be, we're gonna stand against you and your lies. Period. And we're gonna show the rest of the world that what you're saying ain't right. I don't have to hate somebody cause they look like somebody different. I don't have to hate somebody cause they don't believe what I believe. All I have to do is respect them and lead by example. If what I'm doing is right, then they're more apt to choose my path and follow the direction that I'm going in. Not follow me, but adopt things from my life that they see are worthy to make their life better. I don't know how much simpler to say it than that. I don't have all the answers. I'm not right. I'm not always right. I just do the best I can with what I got to work with. And if you look into my life and you see something that is something that you can use in yours to benefit you, hey, I'm glad to help. I'm glad I inspired you in some way to make your life better. Because that's what it's all about. Am I wrong? Well, the Knights of the Round Table's still here, folks. Some folks didn't think it would last past the third show. But oh, she says, if I ain't anything at all, I'm at least persistent.
Yeah, I like that.
So, we've been here for a while, and we'll be here a lot longer. And the podcast will be playing on the radio long after I go to my great reward, wherever that is. In some communities, I might end up being a cricket or a bird or a bee or a tree or something when I come back. Or somebody else. I might be Abraham Lincoln next time. I don't know. Might just see nothing but darkness and not even know it. Or I might be standing up at the pearly gates trying to tell my God why it is I was acting a fool.
Yeah.
However it plays out, I'm trying to at least leave a legacy that's going to be, you know, somewhat motivating as to either what not to do or what to do to make the world a better place. So if my example turns out to be a bad example and you learn from it and don't repeat my mistakes, then I think I did a pretty good job. But if I turn out to be right, and you figure that out, and you adopt that in your life, same thing, man.
You know, I like your words. You want to make the world a better place. You're not saying, we now live in the greatest country in the entire world. Help me change it. To what? No, you say what? A better place.
Yeah, better than what we had to contend with.
How can you become better than the greatest? By helping others become as great as you are. But change it? To what?
Well, I look at it like this. I look at it like this, man. I want to see how far humanity can go to the extent that we can succeed in doing. I mean, if you look
better,
at the human
doing better. That's your words. Always your words. Doing better. We are the greatest people on this earth, and by we, I mean everybody listening to this show. We are the greatest people on this earth. You're not saying, I'm talking semantics, okay? You're not saying, help me change it. You're saying, help me make it better. Yeah. How can we make it better than it is? By working together.
That's right. I pick up a paintbrush.
Stopping hunger.
I pick up a paintbrush and a can of your favorite color of paint, and you pick up a rake and you know, whatever garden tool you can, and together we make this place look a little bit better and make it more comfortable for everybody around us. It's
for
the same
everybody. Exactly.
And when people start seeing that your yard looks really nice, then they're more apt to clean their yard up. And the same thing goes with cities and towns and country, or states and then countries and nations as a whole, you know. If our nation looked good, then we got something to be a leader about. If our nation is running amok and all corrupt, how can we be a good example to the rest of the world? How can we expect that we're not going to develop enemies across the world?
Exactly.
That's in my mind, it's simple. You know? Yeah. Now, I was always taught, lead by example. You know, the old military guys used to be like the general would lead the charge. Now the general's sitting way back. Sending all the pawns in first. Hey, you guys run in there. When the gunfire slows down, if you guys win, I'll be down there. It's all for one and one for all is what it should have been, right?
Right.
The three musketeers and two guys stand back and wait for the one guy to do all the work, and then the other guys come rushing in for the glory. No, it don't work like that. The same thing with we the people. You can't let a few people do all the work and then you come rushing in. USA! USA! Nope. Sit there and holler USA if you're not willing to stand up and fight for what you believe in some form or fashion, whether it be calling your senator, your congressman, or calling the mainstream media on their lies, and even the alternative media is on their lies. Talking to your neighbors and showing them that there's options available. Pulling that person off the bridge and telling them how worthy they are. not judging that poor man on the side of the road holding the sign up. Maybe all he wants to do is get some money to buy some beer. So what? Give him the money anyway if you can afford it.
Maybe he just needs a break.
Yeah.
A little bit longer than the break you need.
Maybe one day it's you with that sign on the side of the road.
Maybe. Could be.
You know, I feel truly blessed because I got my things that I'm pretty much taken care of. I got issues and problems and pains just like everybody else. But I feel blessed. And I like to share some of that knowledge with people so that maybe they too can be blessed. Share some of the resources. I like the whole idea of the community gardening. And if everybody out there could put a flyer together, I would help distribute that flyer personally around the communities everywhere. They would say, build a community garden that when people fall on hard times, they didn't make enough money this week at work, they could come over there and get some vegetables out of this garden. Or maybe they even forgot their wife's birthday party and goes over and picks a flower and takes it to her. See what I'm getting at?
Yeah, I do. I really do.
And when the community comes together to maintain that garden and the conversations and the dialogue will be opened up. Where did you hear about this at? We heard that on Shaziz Radio. And they passed a flyer out that said community gardening is more than just planting fruits and flowers and vegetables.
It's coming together and showing, sharing ideas.
That's right.
You know, community garden, if you stop and think about it, in a positive light, is really and truly a great idea because it causes people to come together, not to work, but to share. And I mean, the work is no longer work. It's fun. It's attitude. Everything is about attitude. You can have an attitude to, I hate this guy, I hate that guy, he's a thief, he's a robber, he's lazy. You can do all kinds of negative stuff. But when you come together at a party, you're having fun. You know, you're having a cookout, you're getting your hands dirty, you're planting seeds, and everybody joking and cutting up and having a great time.
But
they're working. They're working. Oh, these people are crazy. They're coming together with a community garden. That's a lot of work.
Well, think about this, man.
Look at them. They're having fun.
Think about this, man. If you got some little hoodlum in the neighborhood that keeps getting himself in trouble all the time because he's got too much time on his hands.
Right.
And then you invite him over to see this community garden, and you get him involved in a deal where he feels like he's got some value to his life and can actually put something back to the community. You'd be surprised at how much that could accomplish in a young person's life.
Why is he getting in trouble? Because he wants attention. Then bring him to the garden. Give him some flower seed, and so that when he grows something, he's got attention. He's got the prettiest rose bush in the whole garden. Wow, slap him on the shoulder, hit him hard, knock him down. Boy, what did you just do? You worked your butt off, and you grew the prettiest rose bush in the whole garden? Come on, get up here. Give him a big hug. Come on, man. All the kid wants is attention. Give it to him, but let him do something positive. Give him the right to earn that attention.
That's the whole thing, man. That's the whole thing in a nutshell. If you Start building these community gardens and you make them mainstream where everybody thinks about it and really contemplates on it. The words of wisdom that come up out of your mouth are the seeds that will bear the fruit into the future. I would rather hear my children saying some words of wisdom than some foul-mouthed heathenism. You know? This is what the old folks thought back in the day, you know? They thought about respecting their mom and their dad and their elders, and they thought about respecting their neighbor, and they knew about the word being valuable, more valuable than the contract. A handshake was between two men, was it was a sealed deal. And so since society has changed and become so litigious and distrusting because of all the things you've been told about, this guy's robbing that guy and the terrorist behind every bush and the boogeyman's going to jump out and get you and doomsday's right around the doggone corner, and we lost sight of the true power of what the meaning of humanity really is. There ain't no need to go out and kill people over things that are so abundant. We got the resources. The earth has provided everything that we need in order to bring about a heaven on earth. You know, in my book of faith, it says that no man knows the time or day that he come like a thief in the night. It's the same way with death. You know, you never know when the next day somebody ain't going to be there. Even you yourself don't know. Tomorrow isn't guaranteed. And so with that said, instead of living every day for fear that tomorrow you won't be here, live every day to its fullest so that tomorrow, if you aren't here, at least you left a good legacy and had some fun doing it. And learn something. I think if there is a divine creator out there that put us down here for a purpose, to learn, I think the schoolhouse is being run amok. Those who want to be in charge of the schoolhouse or the playground, the bullies of the world, the financial mega machines that basically step on everybody's toes to get their big pile of gold beside them. When a wise man once said, you came into this world naked and you're going to go out just as naked as the day you were born. You ain't taking none of that gold with you. What you're doing is amassing your stairway to heaven that's going to end up being your slide directly to hell. Period. So with that said, if you're doing the best job that you can on a daily basis for yourself and your family and your community, then you ain't got nothing to worry about as far as I'm concerned. And if you're out there trying to be proactive in your community, when you see problems, you get people together and you resolve it in a peaceful manner, and you hold those corrupted individuals out there accountable. You know, I saw one of the most amazing things come up out of InfoWars, where thousands of people stood up and shamed the mainstream media at a Trump rally. The mainstream media wouldn't show everybody who was actually at this deal because it made it look like old Trump had more supporters than old Hillary. So when Trump was saying pan the crowd, they didn't want no part of panning the crowd. Because they didn't want everybody to know that this guy was pulling a massive crowd. Now, regardless of what you think of the man, they should have at least been honest to show what was really going on at the scene. But instead, so that they could match the slant of whatever, you know, their media outlet requires, they pretty much tried to hide the facts. But the people recognized it. They stood up and they booed them and let them know that they weren't pleased with the facts, with the way that things were going down, the way the facts were being presented. They were shouting, tell the truth.
Tell the truth.
Yeah, people don't like to be lied to. When they find out they get lied to, they're going to be upset. What 9 billion people on this planet need to understand is they've been lied to.
You know, wait a minute. You hit a really good point here. How about the people that are being lied to, once they know they're being lied to by the media, rebel? Now, the media lies for one reason, and one reason only. For excitement, to get people to watch their program. And why would they do that for free? No, they don't do it for free. They have supporters, they have advertisers that want to advertise on their media. NBC, CBS, whatever. BBC, whatever. I mean, these people are playing these shows, and then they come in every so often with advertising, and you say, wow, why are they going to do that? They're putting on this free show. They want your attention, so they have to make everything exciting. So how can they do that? These people don't work for free. They need money, so they have advertisers that donate money or give them money to put their ads on for their product. So when these news media start lying to you, quit buying the products that they are advertising. And the advertisers will quit supporting them with money.
Well, that's a point. If everybody out there, if you don't agree with the politics of a certain people, then don't buy from their advertisers. But, you know, you'll notice...
Exactly. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to get a person or people that want to tell the truth, and the people that want to hear the truth will tune in to them. Now, all of a sudden, they're going to become a very, very popular news media because they tell the absolute positive truth. Now, if once they do, and all the people start listening to them because they're telling the truth, then the supporters, the people that want to advertise, are going to start supporting them. Then those are the products you want to buy. But being that they tell the truth, they will not accept money from people selling things that are not real. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We got to turn this thing around.
Well, folks, the true power is in your hands and has been all along. It's not the secret societies out there that have the true power. It's we the people. We're down to the wire on the Knights of the Round Table because we started out an hour early and we're getting out of here an hour early. I got an event. So, either way, words of wisdom. The 200th show, Knights of the Round Table, came and gone. It's just, who knows, maybe we'll make it 300 or 400 before it's all said and done. As long as there's a need in the world for words of wisdom, I'm going to dedicate the time that I do to get up in the morning on Saturdays and Sundays for the Mad Science on Saturdays and Sundays for the Knights of the Round Table. Hey, I can sleep in, man. I can just let it all slide. What does it affect me to not get up and shout out words of wisdom to the world? It ain't gonna affect me financially. It ain't gonna affect me emotionally or mentally, outside of if I shove the old aggravation of what's going on out into the world offside and just live my life and y'all never hear from me again. That's that. But deep down in my soul, I feel like there's an urgency, there's a need for common sense to be shouted. Even if nobody wanted to hear it, I'd be still shouting. Put a platform together for people to come together and communicate with one another, and when you come to this website, you're a protected class, because if somebody starts messing with you in the chat room, we'll give them the boot. If they get on the doggone air and start trying to be disrespectful or foul-mouthed heathens, we'll give them the boot. There's other networks out there that they don't care how you talk. Respect is the last thing on their mind.
You know, I just had a thought. There's a young lady out there by the name of Catherine Waters.
Yeah.
And once in a while she gets on the late radio, and a lot of people don't like her because she tells the truth.
Well, sometimes the truth hurts.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's a good hurt because it's the truth. Excuse me, I'm sorry.
All right, so we got to go, man.
Okay.
But save that subject and that thought for the next nights of the round table. Everybody out there, I hope something said was beneficial to you, gave you some sort of ideas. I hope that you share these podcasts with everybody out there. Thanks for joining us for the 200th nights of the round table. Didn't have all the trumpets blowing and all the parades and the hoorah and all that going on. Just pointed out a few things of how it all started and where we hope to go with it. And we hope to go with it as something as simple as to make our world a better place. Peace and love, everybody. You guys got anything last you want to say?
Listen to Catherine Waters.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, great.
We need to get her on the show.
There you go.
All right. Take care, everybody. Been listening to Knights of the Round Table.
Ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you ma'am.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here! Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
Oh, didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you. We're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur.
That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system. Help, help, I'm being repressed.
Bloody peasant.
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to
Camelot!
We're back to the round table, three dots when we're able. We're new routines to call the scenes to put work in Beck Cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're Knights of the Round Table, our shows are more mid-table. So many times we give and rise that our quiet on sing able. We're off from mad in Camelot, we sing from the diaphragm
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right. Hey, hey, hey! King Shaziz the Terrible! King Shaziz the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table!